Bloomington native Frieda Love Smith is a legend in the local punk scene. She was the drummer for The Blake Babies, Antenna, and The Mysteries of Life in the 80s and 90s. The Paste columnist chronicles her life in music and her love of food in her new memoir, Red Velvet Underground. Along with rock and roll memories, we follow her cooking lessons with her son, Jonah. One of their first lessons is how to bake bread, which is fitting because one of the first times food and music collided for her was in a Bloomington bakery as she made pain brûlé, a French bread that required pounding the dough. She came into the WFIU studios to talk to Annie Corrigan.
Okay, so first of all, I did not realize that you were the creator of the Cosmic Muffin. So a celebrity is in my midst.
Ah, thank you.
Can you talk about how you came up with this idea for this recipe?
It was a long time ago, but I do remember it well because it was such a fun process. And it was the first time that I created, really kind of the last time that I created a commercial product. But it was really in collaboration with the owners of the bakery as they're opening Soma Bakery and Coffee Shop, and they wanted to offer vegan treats. And I think the idea for the Cosmic Muffin was that it would be this mega brand muffin, that it would be a complete meal in itself, and that we would just put as much stuff as possible in it, and ideally it would still be tasty and easy enough to make every day.
Are you going to go get one?
I think I will go get one. I usually do.
Do you say to the barista, hey?
I did that once, and I didn't get much of a response. One time I went in and I took pictures of it in the case, and they seemed nervous.
I love the story of you baking bread at the Daily Bread with a baseball bat. And it just seemed to me like this is exactly what a drummer-to-be should be doing.
Oh, absolutely. It was very physical. It was very rhythmic. And not only that, there was a soundtrack. I was, having this experience and baking this bread while I was listening to a band that would become really formative and really important to me. I can't separate the Velvet Underground from that experience. It's all so tied together. I can't say that I became a drummer because I made that bread, but they're very linked in my mind. And people do think that my love of food, my experience with food, and my experience as a drummer seem like these disparate things, but they don't seem like that to me. And I think part of it is that physicality.
I'm waiting for my man.
Okay, let's go to this. You talk to musicians for Paste magazine.
I do.
I've really enjoyed reading some of your Q&As. And so I want to bring up the one with Joey Santiago of the Pixies.
Right.
Your questions are exactly the questions that I want to ask you, so I'm going to turn some around.
Oops. Oh, great. No one's ever asked me those questions.
So I've got two here. When you were on tour, what food from home did you crave?
I had a really long conversation once in the van when I was on a Some Girls tour about the things that we were missing at home. It just kind of went on for hours and hours. And it's really simple, basic things, but things that are hard to get on the road. So we had this long conversation about millet, about how when we got home, we would make a pot of millet. And then I guess a little bit more interesting or a little bit more sophisticated than that, just talking about the way that I make a coconut curry. And I can't really describe exactly what it is, but just the way that I make it taste exactly the way I want, with, not very sweet, maybe a little more lime juice, maybe a little bit spicier. And there's something about being able to make something taste exactly the way you want it that you really long for when you're on tour and you just have to take what you get and you don't have that sense of control and that direct connection with the food that you're eating. And it makes you get really obsessed with food. And it makes it kind of fun and sort of funny, but to sit in the van and talk about what you're going to cook when you get home.
So another question you have in this conversation with Joey Santiago, what's your pre-show food ritual?
So I do like to eat. A lot of singers don't like to eat anything before they play, but I don't sing. Drumming is really physical, so I need to eat something. I have a really hard time if I don't. But if I eat something very heavy or very large, then I do notice that my playing is sluggish. I'll tend to play a little slower, but something lighter like a miso soup and some sushi is really, really good.
Sushi and miso soup sounds like the poshest tour food.
I know, it's true.
Were you really eating like that on tour?
Well, you're lucky if you can get that. More likely, if they feed you at the venue, you'll get some kind of crappy spaghetti. One of the musicians that I interviewed for Paste, Chuck Prophet, talked about gigatony, which is a word that he coined for the plate of pasta with super sweet store-bought tomato sauce that they throw at you when they have to feed the band. So if I'm faced with a plate of gigatoni, I'll just have a few bites of it, and maybe there'll be some carrots and hummus in the dressing room, and I can kind of pull something together.
There's a really brief story that you tell about hearing "Meat Is Murder" by the Smiths for the very first time. That jump started your vegetarianism.
It did.
You then say that you're embarrassed to admit it. The very next paragraph. Why are you embarrassed to admit that?
I guess I never shared with anybody, even in the moment, that hearing that song inspired me so instantaneously and so completely.
Yeah, the cow mooing in the background, this weird industrial machine sound.
It's a powerful piece of propaganda, mm-hmm. and that's what it's really meant to be. And maybe I didn't want to admit that I was the kind of person that a powerful piece of propaganda could work so effectively on, but it did. This beautiful creature must die. A death for no
reason, and death for no reason is murder. There's this part in the book where you say the drums overwhelmed you. They got the better of you. What do you mean by that?
Part of it was a size thing, like being a small woman, and my first drum kit wasn't sized to me. I think because a lot of the bands that I was really into were kind of powerful punk bands, I was trying to emulate something that was a little bit beyond me. Physically, it took me some time to come to terms with my own physical limitations and my own technical limitations.
Have you ever felt that way in the kitchen, in your cooking life?
I have. There are parallels because, you know, again, I haven't taken cooking classes. I didn't go to culinary school. It's not something that I've done publicly, so I haven't had maybe as strong of those pangs. But I have had moments. I mean, I write about food a lot now. I love food. I'm really passionate about it. And I do have some professional experience. But again, I sort of jumped in with all my enthusiasm and all, you know, my interest and my passion for it.
Let's think about maybe one of the most simple recipes, a good beginner recipe that you can make in your sleep. And then think about one of the first drum parts that you learned. Simple. You mastered it. Again, you can play it in your sleep. I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
No, that's okay. I mean, I think with Jonah, the lessons that we had around making stir fry were really productive. Like, I feel like a lot of what we were working on with the cooking lessons started to coalesce for him. That was a really good basic, not even recipe, but more sort of technique for him to learn. He learned how to improvise, to sort of make a meal out of whatever you happen to have. And then as far as a drum beat, I can actually kind of hear the drum beat in my head, but it's a little bit hard to explain, but just kind of...
Can you speak the drum beat?
Oh, I've never tried to do this before, but just a simple sort of eighth note funk drum beat, like...
And the... Is the bass drum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do those two things, stir fry and a simple eighth note funk beat?
Yeah, let's say that.
What do those two things have in common?
I would say their versatility. It's kind of like having a trick in your bag, like something that you can pull out that will almost always work. And once you know it, you've got it under your belt.